Welcome to the DL.
It's Thursday morning. Happy first birthday to Max Franklin Levy. This is the last song. I had to do it. I promised myself, Nick, that I would end the show with that. That is the band Game Face, which is a band that means more to me than probably any of you. And Jeff from Game Face, I am still close with. But I promised myself if we ever had a last show, Nick, it would start with the end, which is the last song. But we're actually taping this Wednesday night. How are you, sir, for the last time on this show?
Well, you know, I sort of feel like this is the last waltz. And we'd not bring in Scorsese to direct it, but so I appropriately thought The Wait would be a wonderful song by the band to play somewhere in there. But I'm always good. I'm always good for some punk music. Let's wake the folks up.
Yeah, no. See, if we're gonna go out, we go out with a bang. I did solicit some ideas for how we should end the show, and I wasn't gonna ever use any of these, but I thought what would be the cheesiest song to use at the end, and we got some good suggestions. I may sing some of them throughout the show.
And we'll all be worse off for that, but it's fine.
But I have a very good voice. You should ask my kids. I have a very good voice.
Well, perhaps to children and dogs, but you know, this is the people we're talking about.
I can sing the hell out of the Bear Necessities from the Jungle Book. Look for the Bear Necessity. It's going to be one of those. I almost cracked a beer for today. I have no clue. I don't even know what this show is going to be.
We should pause it so I can go down and pour a nice glass of that crown that you handed me.
We should be drinking this. See, we should have done our last show on Friday because then we could just get drunk.
I still get drunk. I don't have any kids to wake up in the morning.
So this is the last show. Here's how it's going to go. Nick and I are going to talk for a while. And then some very, very close friends of ours in this industry that we have gained because of this show, because of the previous 554 episodes, some of whom we may lose after this one if we burn any bridges on this show, are going to have a little bit of their say. We were coming up with ideas to end the show. I had no plan. I knew what we were going to do this week, talk with Scholes, talk with Zirkle, talk with AJ, talk with Josh Elliott. So go back and listen to those shows if you haven't before you listen to this. But I didn't know how we should actually finish the show. Do we call Bob Newhart and see if he can come on and pretend like it was a dream? And, you know, it's one of those things where I solicited ideas. My friend John Messino, who was on the second show before you, John Messino on the show before Nick, folks, if you ever went back and listened to the first ones, Mark Cincini was on the first one with me to name drop a few old friends. He suggested that we come up with prognostications for the future and make it like a time capsule. And with the conversation that we had on Monday with Scholes and with Zirkle, I felt that that sort of made sense because I wrote that day, this show is going to sound ridiculous in 2 years, but right now it sounds perfect. And I want to go back and listen to that show in 2 years to just laugh at what the industry was like and what we thought was going to happen. So I thought, Nick, why not get some of our friends in the industry to prognosticate what they think might happen within the next 2 years in sports? And this show, our last show, could serve as a time capsule. Everyone keep this file and play it again in 2 years and see what turned out to be true and what didn't. So in the middle of this show, we're going to do some stuff at the end, but in the middle of the show is a very lengthy segment of all of our friends who wanted to sending in voicemails of what they think might happen in sports in the next 2 years. I think it's pretty cool.
And it occurs to me now that I think I buried a time capsule at General Nash Elementary School sometime in the 80s.
Did you really?
We did. We know as a class. I remember we did it. I swear we did it. And I'd like to see what's in that now. It's something maybe a Hands Across America shirt and some New Yorker shoelaces. I don't know. But I would love to go back. You know, it reminded me of that. But I think this is a good idea because It will be fun to go back. And if anyone gets it right, it'll be sort of like, hey, I picked Super Bowl score right kind of a thing. Like, hey, look, I was right. And you know, an asteroid did hit a football game, and I predicted that was going to happen. So.
Well, that would be terrible. Who would make that prediction? Why would you even bring that up? That's a terrible prediction.
I was trying to think of the most outrageous thing somebody could say in sports that they wouldn't actually say.
We have some good ones. And the cool thing about it is we're taping this show before we were getting some of the voicemails. So I don't even know what some of these people after you and I are talking right now are going to say. I have not listened to all of them yet. I do know it's a cavalcade of internet stars and some really good writers. And like I said, some good friends of ours. So I appreciate everyone taking the time in their busy schedules to be a part of our last show. Look, it is what it is. People keep asking me, why are you stopping? I don't know. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Thanks for listening to the fucking show. I don't know. We're stopping.
Well, we also, you know, honestly, we weren't talking about ourselves, but we did talk about, or maybe just you and I talked, I don't know. I lose track. But about, you know, shows, television programs we like that we're able to pick their end. And say, okay.
No, that wasn't on the show. And thank you for bringing that. Can you extrapolate upon that, please? Because
we talked about, you know, there's, for instance, oh, you know what? We were going to talk about it one day. And we didn't get to it. You know, a couple shows that we watched. And for instance, we loved Lights Out. And that show didn't know it was going off the air, but sort of gave you some closure, but left it open if they wanted to come back. And I, you know, not that I enjoyed, but I watched the show V. And huge cliffhanger, and there's no shot that show's coming back. So that was just wrong. But the frame of the context of the whole thing was lost. At some point along the way, they said, listen, we're going to do this thing for 6 seasons. We've got 3 seasons or 2 seasons, whatever it was left, or we've got 36 episodes. We know we have an end point, so we're going to do it till then. So, you know, we picked an end point, I suppose. That's part of it. And said, okay, that's it. We've accomplished some things, and perhaps we didn't get everything done, but it's time to go.
Right. Yeah, I had no plan for the actual although I think some people thought that they didn't have lost either. they didn't answer half the questions. I know. You think those people are dumb. But here's the thing, and I was thinking back. I did an interview last night, and I was thinking back after I talked to them about it. By the way, it's I want to get this right. Sportscasters, I think it is, with an underscore between the word sports and casters. Follow them on Twitter. They're like the new version of us. They're getting like ridiculous guests. I'm on a podcast. They have John Boutregras and Jeff Passan. And I'm like, what number show is this? Like, this is our 15th show. These stupid sons of bitches.
No, did we blaze a trail for these people?
We did. They actually gave me credit for blazing a trail. So go listen to them if you need something. I can't vouch for it at all. They were nice to me. But again, if you're looking for something to listen to, I think they're on once a week. But anyway, the point of bringing that up is I was looking back on our list of guests. I actually screwed some people over that should have been on the show that weren't. Brian Spaeth was supposed to be on the show one time to talk about his movie, and it just never happened. Michael David Smith was supposed to be on the show like 12 times. I remember one time Doug Gottlieb, I sent him a Facebook message. I was like, hey, will you come on the show? This is before he even had a radio show. This is so long ago that it was before Doug Gottlieb's radio show on ESPN. He was supposed to be on this show, and I just never got back to him. talk about being scatterbrained. The best one, the white whale, and I actually, Tunison's probably going to laugh if he's listening to this, because I told him this at Blogs with Balls 1, I was supposed to go up to ESPN and wow, this is so long ago, do a face-to-face sit-down with Chris Berman. And it was all set up. And it was the day that they were setting all the PR people up. They were going to niche out some time where I was going to sit in his office and interview Chris Berman. And Marissa was pregnant with Max, so obviously this was over a year ago. And I decided when it finally came to be, I decided that I wasn't going to go because she was really sick and I didn't want to leave Zoe. And that, I think, was the first day where this whole like, oh my God, I need to worry about my family before I worry about this show crept in. And that was the beginning of it. Obviously, what's going on with Max medically in the last 3 months has sort of expedited the exit to the show. I wanted to get to 600 and have that be the end. It just didn't happen. But that was the beginning. It's so funny. Like, how different do you think our lives would be if I did that Chris Berman interview?
Wow, it's hard to say. I mean, it's possible.
Well, this show. I don't mean our lives. I mean,
this show. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a great. It's funny because, you know, you meet new people all the time. And it's not the first thing you tell them. Somewhere in conversation, you might say, like, oh, you know, by the way, I do a podcast.
First thing I tell them.
I don't go there, but especially when trying to meet new women. But anyway, you know, and And they sort of look at you funny at first. You sort of explain it. And one of the cool things is like, here's who's been on the show. And granted, I wasn't a part of a lot of these interviews because of the way the timing worked. And this used to be a twice a week show. And it's very fitting that we're finishing up at night because that's how we started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was sitting around about this time of the night. I'd usually rush home, grab some dinner, run upstairs, we'd write some questions up. We'd get on IM and we'd call up Andy Duke, you know, we'd call up, Mike Missinelli, we would call up AJ Benza, random people, and do it. So I start to go through the guest list of people, and they look at it like, wow, that's really amazing. I go, that is kind of amazing.
Right, it really is.
Little, and I, you know, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way that everyone else does, in a little basement operation. That's how it feels. It feels like a little mom and pop store that we set up here on the internet and set out to try to get some things done.
Yeah, it's funny. When I talk to those guys again, I go back to that, and they have these huge guests, and they ask me, like, how'd you do it? I said, you guys are lucky, and I feel so old in saying this, but people don't realize, and the people who have listened to the show from the early on understand this, but people don't realize that nobody knew what a podcast was when we started doing this, except the people who did podcasts, and occasionally the people who listened. But nobody knew what it was. I said, this was like 2 years after we started doing this show, ESPN Radio was still running their promos of the PTI podcast, in which Wilbon would say, what's a podcast, dude? And it was like funny that Wilbon was on a podcast but didn't know what it was. And this was like a year and a half after we had already started this show. So it's so funny. Like when I look back and explain to like, we got Tony Kornheiser to come on a podcast. What? Like the old man who hates Twitter? But now, it's no different. You just call somebody up and say, hey, you want to come on my show? They don't care if you have 2 listeners or 2 million listeners. The playing field has been leveled. And look, I'm going to sound obnoxious when I say this. I think we had a large part to do with that, especially in the sports world. I really, really think that this show had a lot to do with leveling the playing field for somebody who starts a show today and somebody who's been doing radio for 40 years.
Absolutely, because honestly, the definition of podcast has changed. Because it used to be, you know, when we started, and what this is exclusively a podcast. I mean, that's where it exists, and it's in a vacuum, and it is the show. But now it's, oh, check out our podcast. Well, it's just we repurposed our radio program,
oh, right,
put it
yeah,
on
yeah.
the in, online instead of. But the whole point is, they wouldn't have called it that 4 years ago. It wasn't what it was. It was check out some clips on whatever it was. If they did it at all, and now all of a sudden, you know, and yeah, I mean, I don't know how much responsibility I think we can claim for this or the other thing. But the bottom line is, the word podcast was an odd word. It was something people didn't necessarily understand. And now, if you called up any personality in the country and said, "Yeah, would you come, you know, be on our podcast?" They'd be like, they'd think about it for a second, go, "Yeah, that's cool." But they wouldn't say no because of what the medium is. They'd say no because they may not know you.
Right.
But they would certainly hear okay, yeah, I know what a podcast is. That's cool. And that was definitely not the case when this thing started out. And it was, you know, hey, taking a chance, coming on. And I think people are coming on.
All right. So we're almost done patting ourselves on the back. I swear to you. Because I want to get to something that we are compiling. And I have spent, Nick, how long? Like a month putting this post together that will be up sort of in accompaniment to the show. I still have 44 people left to chronicle. And I'm almost halfway through, I feel. So we'll get to that in a second. But before we do that, will you indulge me, and I mean the readers, not or the listeners, rather, not you, in 2 emails that we received. One was the day, whatever show it was, that we announced that we were going to be done. And then one I think I got today or yesterday. So I'm going to read the one I got today, or it might have been yesterday. In part, I'm going to read – this is a guy, Jake, and I don't like giving last names unless they want to, so – I like to think I'm your average listener, but I'm probably not. I started listening in February of 2009 because I needed something to listen to every day as I rode the bus to an internship. It quickly became one of my favorite podcasts due to your attempts to make your podcast about media, relationship, and sports. Your podcast is everything the BS Report should have been. Daily, great guests, a watchdog of sports media. I've listened to you for a while changing my major twice and moving to 2 different states. I'm now a communications major with hopes of getting into TV and radio production, but if it wasn't for people like you, I might never have gotten the inspiration to change my major so that I could hopefully work in such an interesting field. I mean, it's pretty freaking cool.
I don't want this to come off as – it's going to come off as schmaltzy and cheesy, but – you know, there were certainly mornings I woke up and I said, why the hell am I waking up at 6:30?
That's why.
About nothing. And when you hear stuff like that from people, and I'm not saying that – and again, I don't want to take credit for changing anyone's life, but it buzzers we've never heard of, in places we've never been, and I have absolutely no clue how they ever found out about this program, but they became fans and they listened, and it does give you the goosebumps, and I'm not just saying it. It is wow. And you hear something like that and say, hey, you know what? I'd say you're welcome, but I don't know exactly what we did, but God bless and Godspeed and good luck with everything. But mostly thank you for
right. Listening. See, here's the thing. We set out every day to talk about things that interest us and hope that they interest you who's listening. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And it doesn't have to be sports. It could be pop culture, politics, whatever. And we've missed on some, and some I think were better than we thought afterwards. But we've had a pretty good estimation of what's going to work and what's not. And with that, that's all we ever wanted to do, just entertain people in a way that sports talk radio we felt was deficient and still is deficient in many ways. But it's those emails, like where you actually changed people's lives a little bit and a tiny bit. I mean, I'm sure he would have done what he did without me or you, but nonetheless, to have a small, tiny part in someone's career path, I never wanted to do the show for that. That's just gravy. That's awesome. You know,
it is. It is sort of just touch. And, you know, next email you're going to read, but I do know one that you sent me where someone just sort of marked the touchstones that are.
No, that's the one. Said, yeah. So let me.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and go with that one then. So that was another one. When I heard it, I was like, Jesus.
Right. This is this guy, Steve, who is a drilling engineer for a major oil company. So he has been. I mean, he's on a rig and stuff. I mean, so you talk about safety. He has listened. He says he thinks he's listened to about 450 of the shows. And look, when you have that much of it, I mean, he's emailed all the time. So you learn things about people's families. Obviously, we are very open with what's going on in our lives here. So I think the people who listen know more about us than we know about them. But in addition to saying that we introduced him to the larger world of sports blogs and introduced him to Jack's Big Music Show for his kids. Two great things that I'm very proud of for anyone who got into sports blogs or Jack's Big Music Show because of us. You're welcome. But this is the last paragraph he wrote to me. I listened to your show while training and running two marathons. I was actually listening to your show when Jeff Van Gundy passed me in the 2010 Houston Marathon. Yeah, the sickly looking middle-aged Jeff Van Gundy smoked me. I listened to your show driving across the country to see my in-laws in Minnesota and almost 200 miles offshore in the Gulf of Mexico on drill ships. I listened while studying at night to take the professional engineer's exam last fall. I passed. And while driving to Dallas to evacuate for Hurricane Ike. Most importantly, and I think I'm crying when I said, I listened to your show on the way to and from the hospital for the births of both of my kids. I honestly feel like I owe you. He doesn't owe me anything.
I just know it's a damn thing, but
I mean, I owe him. You know, I owe him. I owe the 30 other people who have emailed me in the last couple of weeks who I'm not going to read because I just won't get through all of them. But I mean, that's the greatest thing that anyone's ever sent me other than, you know, come on. I put that in life perspective, my wife and you know whatnot, but that is the greatest email I ever received in my life. And there are other people who sent those. I mean, sorry, I'm talking over you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, and you'll forward stuff to me from time to time, just, you know, hey, this is a good one that came in and, And when I read that one, it just said, wow. Wow is the best word that I've been. And it's simple, but it's true. And, you know, we do want – I mean, we did start out to hope to interest people. But in no way, shape, or form did I ever think anyone would – and people weren't doing it at the time, but load us under their iPods and use us to get to and from work or to – you know, we've heard more than a few people say, when I run. And I said, wow, I mean, that's – I should be running. But, no, besides that to hear that, you know, and to me, the other part of the show is that connection with people who are elsewhere because – you know, I've talked about that many times in the show, but my friend Mike, who lives in Chicago, my friend Mike, who lives here, but lives part of the time in California. And I don't, you know, when these guys are out of town, you don't get to see, you see them a couple times a year. But when I would, you know, touch down in Chicago and be on the L and heading back from O'Hare and Mike would just bring up stuff that we talked about in the show. And I'm just like, hey, you know, this guy, this friend of mine is listening every day. So that's a connection. It's a connection that, although I don't see him every day, although I don't talk to him that often, it's a connection that he has. And it's the same connection that I think a lot of people built with us that was, I don't know, it just becomes routine and it becomes a friendly voice. And I have those other shows that I'll listen to. And so I guess, you know, like you said, I'm just grateful to the people who listened. I'm just grateful that they let us have that voice and they let us, you know, have this show for as long as we did. And sent those kind of emails. It was just, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. As am I, obviously. You know, It's ironically enough for a show where I need to talk, because if I don't, it's going to sound awful and boring. You become at a loss for words when you read stuff like that. It's really rewarding, almost to the point that the day I got that email, I called you up and said, should we keep doing this? I feel guilty. I feel guilty for the people who care that much to listen to our opinions about stupid shit every day. And I hope I can still stay in touch with every of them, with everyone. I mean, I'm happy to email me your thoughts. Call me in the morning. I'll be up. If people want to have one-on-one Skype chats with me, I'm dead serious. I am serious about
this. You're like those bands that you run out for private, you know, like Aerosmith or Foo Fighters go play some rich kid's birthday party. Hey, just call me up. We'll do a private show. We'll talk.
Private? What? Did we just invent a new thing, private podcasts?
We could. There we go. No, copyright.
Call me. I'll tape it. You can put it on your personal website. My Chats with Dan. Mitch Albom can write a book about it in 10 years.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You want to talk about Muppets? Talk about Muppets.
We always want to talk about Muppets.
Dropping a little music behind us. This is our post. This is my opus post. I decided I want to go out with a bang. And am I going to be back? People think, and you'll hear some of the voicemails in a little bit, people think that I'm going to be back. People think something, you know, Josh Zirkle's begging me to do he might get mad at the word begging, but feels like begging me to do like a weekly show, recap of the weekend or whatever. And maybe eventually we'll do that. We talked with CBEC and maybe we'll do some video things down the line. So I don't think I'm going to disappear from the blog world. And God knows if somebody calls me up tomorrow and offers to pay me for this, I'm available. I'll still do something. It's just not going to be called on the DL, and it's not going to be in this format. We need to change a few things. And the only way you can change things is if you stop and then do it better down the line. I don't know when that line is going to come. Until then, this is a farewell. And I thought, what better way to say farewell than to compare everyone in the sports blogosphere to Muppets? And that's what we have done.
Well, we have a deep love of the Muppets. We interviewed an author whose name escapes me now, who wrote that Street Gang, a wonderful book on Sesame Street.
You still have that?
About Muppets. No, I gave it back to you.
Michael Davis?
Yeah, I definitely gave that book back.
All right, well, yeah. I was looking for that the other day. I see, on my bookshelf, I actually don't have the books turned out to the spine, so I don't know what any of them are.
Oh, that's genius.
I'm not a strong reader, Nick. I'm not a strong reader.
Apparently, or a strong organizer.
We have put together a list of I'm going to do a rough count because I'm guesstimating here, 80, somewhere around 80 bloggers. I wanted it to be maybe 75. I wanted it to be 50. And the problem was, it's like a wedding. When you invite 50 people to a wedding, that's okay. But when you invite 75, you have to invite 100, because those 25 people are in no different relationship to you as the next 25. But then if you invite 150, you have to invite 300, because the 150th first person at a wedding and the 299th are basically the same person. That's what I fell into here, because I wanted to do 50, and then all of a sudden I got to 53, and then the 53rd person and the 70th person were basically the same relationship to me and the same, in my, you know, to sound ridiculous, level of importance in the blog world. I ended up with like 75, 80 people. It's ridiculous.
It reminds me of a guy I knew who once had to drink 2 cases of beer, and he got to 48, and he said, well, 48, I want to get to 50, because 50 is a round number. And he got to 50 and said, but I don't want to end in a round number, so you drank 51 beers. It's a little different than what you were doing, but this guy did drink 51 beers.
Was that like Cool Hand Luke?
Well, no, it was called Case Day. It was over a 24-hour period. It wasn't exactly.
Oh, all right. That's a lot of beer.
It's a lot. Yeah, absolutely was. And this is legit. Hand to God, it happened. So, but it reminded me when you said that, how you got to 48 and you got to 15. And let me go a little bit farther. But,
how many eggs? How many eggs was that?
I don't remember.
This is the most disgusting scene in any movie ever, I think. Anyway, so I want to go through some of these. We have a post that will be on presscoverage.us. Go there, because I'm not putting it on the deal. Presscoverage.us. And it says, the sports blogosphere is Muppets, a farewell post. And I wanted to explain some of them. We have a write-up of every one. The problem is, I learned in doing this, I am better friends with some people than others. So obviously, this is coming from my perspective. But I feel like I have a pretty good assessment of who's what in the blog world. But I apparently don't know anything about certain NBA writers. I know their work. I respect their work, but from a personality standpoint, if I had to compare them to a Muppet, it's impossible for me. So some of them might not work, and some of the college football writers, apparently, I don't know anything about. So I apologize to some of you who you feel should be higher on the list, and you're not. It's probably just a fault of my reading patterns. As I just said, I'm not a very strong reader. So unless it interests me, I don't care. And then some of the people who didn't make the cut, like I said, when you put 75 to 80 people on there, there are smaller people on here than you, if you are a person who feels that they should be on there. So I apologize for not getting you on there. I'm not going to start naming those names, because then if I start naming them, somebody else who I don't even name will get mad.
The bottom line is there was no malice intended in anything. This is fun, and you try to consult me, and I'm like, I don't know much, and I don't know much about anything. So I helped any way I could, which was very little, but I know that you labored over this thing, and I think it will be very enjoyable for everybody.
Yeah, like somebody I just forgot that needs to be on the list right now. As we're done, I need to now add somebody. That's going to be fun. So here's what we do. We're only gonna name like the top – what do you want to do? Like the top 10 guys or 15 or – we're not naming all 50. We don't have time to name all 50. I'm asking you.
Yeah, top 10 is always a good number.
But here's the problem. I'm looking, by the way, I thought you were going to talk longer because I can't find my I have it somewhere and I can't find it. So I was vamping while you talked and then you didn't talk.
Nice. So I should do a little stand up, a little soft shoe maybe.
555 shows in, still a well-oiled machine.
Absolutely. Nothing should change for the end. It should be the same it was all along, which was maddening at times and smooth at times, but always entertaining.
Or not maybe always, not. Always something.
Yeah.
All right. I got it up. Kermit the Frog is the linchpin of the blog world the linchpin of the Muppets, and then obviously the linchpin of the blog world. And I actually had some trouble with that, because at first I was going to pick Jamie Mottram, because I think Jamie Mottram had more hands underneath him. Jamie Mottram, I think, was more responsible for growing people's careers than the person who is Kermit the Frog. But that being said, and Jamie is well represented, I made Will Leach Kermit the Frog, because I think that makes the most sense. He is probably, if not definitely, the most famous sports blogger, and it all sort of epicentered around him.
Oh, that made – oh, it's – and again, the well-oiled
machine.
Come on, dude. It felt like you had something else to say. No, I think that you're dead on with that one, and I think that that really is sort of where – didn't all necessarily start there, but I think that was the epicenter for everything that's happened basically in the blog world.
As I said, now we'll say epicenter three times. So in that, the real reason that Leach is Kermit is because – and not everyone's connected. It's not all going to work where like for example, Beaker and Bunsen Honeydew, they're not like a team. I couldn't figure it out. And we're not going to we'll talk about that later. But Big Daddy Drew from KSK and from Deadspin is Fozzie Bear. And I don't even mean is Fozzie Bear on our list. I actually think he is Fozzie Bear. I can't think of another person on the planet who would be a better Fozzie Bear than Drew.
No. Well, there was another choice for that one, but I think you went with the right one.
I don't even know if there was another. Not in my mind.
No. For him.
Oh, for Drew.
If there's another possibility, but I think going with Fozzie, and listen, he's big and lovable. There's no question about it. So, I think it was a good choice. But out of people, you have to know how Dan agonized over this thing. He's been working on this thing for a month.
This has been a month. Yeah, at least. And I'm still not done. I mean, I'm still questioning people. I'm going to zoom through a couple right now. AJ Delario is Gonzo for like a million reasons, and you'll have to read them. And one of the best reasons is because then I could make Jen Sturger Camilla.
Which I'm still laughing about.
Which is still the greatest. I mean, just like the resident chick of the blogosphere, which is sort of hilarious. Jamie Mottram, who could have been Kermit the Frog, actually ended up being Big Bird. And the reason Jamie Mottram is Big Bird is because I feel, one, he's more wholesome. The Yahoo and AOL, what was that called? Fanhouse, was a little more sort of wholesome than Deadspin. But also because, as I said, I felt Mottram sort of had his hand in shaping more people's careers. And if you compare Big Bird, who's clearly the face of Sesame Street for at least 30 of the 40 years, and still a huge presence, literally on the street, a huge presence on Sesame Street, he had far more reach touching youth not literally. Oh God, I can't believe I just did that. Then Kermit the Frog.
He never touched any youth.
He never touched any youth. Then Kermit the Frog. I mean, Big Bird shaped our lives, who grew up watching Sesame Street, far more than Kermit the Frog. We love Kermit, and Kermit is perhaps more famous worldwide. But I think Big Bird perhaps had more influence, which is exactly Jamie Mottram. Continuing a little bit of the Sesame Street people, Tass and Skeets are Bert and Ernie. I don't even have to explain that to people. Dan Steinberg is Grover. And for anyone who has ever listened to Dan Steinberg talk, you're welcome. MJD is Cookie Monster. And not for the reasons. The reason he's Cookie Monster is because of the influence. Cookie Monster is one of the huge, huge stars of Sesame Street. But it's sort of taken a back seat with more healthy eating lately and whatnot. He's still on the show a lot. MJD sort of has taken a back seat in being interactive on the blogosphere, yet he still has one of the most trafficked sites. So I thought it was a good parallel for Cookie Monster, an old star that's maybe not as prominent anymore, but still drives traffic like you can't believe.
He went on Top Chef this year.
Well, he was on Top Chef. One of my favorites, and this was, no one is going to convince me that I'm wrong on this. The Free Darko Collective, RIP, are pigs in space, which makes Shoals Miss Piggy, which I think is just so unbelievably perfect in reasons I can't explain in words, but in my brain it does work. Brooks is Rolf the dog. And the reason Brooks is Rolf the dog is because what many people don't know is that Rolf actually was the most famous Muppet before Kermit. Before the Muppets, he was doing dog food commercials. Jim Henson was doing dog food commercials with Rolf the dog. And Brooks is sort of the one guy that predates the blog explosion and Deadspin and all that other stuff, and Fanhouse and whatnot. So I thought that was perfect. And I could make the case, as many people joked to me when I suggested that he was Rolf. Oh, is that because he's a dog? Yes, it's because he's a dog. And yes, it's because he poses with bitches.
Oh, burn.
Dan Shanoff is Guy Smiley. Again, you're welcome. Spencer Hall as the Swedish chef. I wanted Spencer to be Uncle Traveling Matt from the Fraggles, from Fraggle Rock, but I didn't feel that he would. I didn't feel enough people knew who that was. But the Swedish chef, and by the way, we're going to end on this one because I think people are getting bored. There's two more that we're going to have. The Swedish chef, because he wears white, he has a mustache, everyone loves him. And like 90% of the people who read him or who listen have no clue what he's talking about. Spencer is the greatest writer in the blog world, in my opinion. And it's because 90% of his audience has no clue what he's saying. He writes on a level so much higher than anybody else is comprehending. Even me. I mean, I'll readily admit.
Let's throw that in there.
I don't understand half the shit he talks about. He and Shoals write on a level that just deserves to be written in hieroglyphics and deciphered on walls in 3 million years. I mean, just whatever. Kevin K. Duck is Snuffleupagus because he's big, lovable, and deep-voiced. Chris Mottram is Oscar the Grouch, which I was actually going to make myself at one point, but I realized he's the grouchiest human being I've ever talked with, and it was perfect. And then the last one, and like I said, there are a million. Zirkle is Animal. Trey Kirby is Dr. Teeth. Should I even mention the fact that Jason McIntyre's Rizzo the Rat, which you have to read. It actually makes sense. And Florio is Sam the Eagle, which actually makes sense.
100%.
As many bridges as I probably burned by saying that, but read them. But the last one I'll mention is Greg Wyszynski as Elmo. And what you told me today just completely and utterly cements Greg Wyszynski's superstardom. Elmo has to be a breakout star who no one ever anticipated was going to be a breakout star. When Elmo started, like, they didn't even have him speaking properly. And Elmo has become the biggest star on Sesame Street, probably of all time, probably bigger than Bert and Ernie, Big Bird, and Cookie Monster, I would think.
I think so at this point.
Mostly because of merchandising and the way that toys are so easy to produce now. Wyszynski is the breakout star of the blog world in his respective sport. He is probably, and we talked about this when he was on last week, the biggest voice as a hockey writer in America. He's got his own radio show. He was just on Simmons' podcast. I sent him a message. Who needs our dinky show anymore? You're talking to Simmons now about hockey. He's Elmo. And he kind of looks like a Muppet. So you got that.
Winner chicken dinner for that one.
No, that was Butchergrass. He was on that other show this week.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, I apologize if I bored people who don't care about the Muppets, but Jesus, screw you. If you don't care about the Muppets after listening to me for the last 4 years, you will never care. There are probably 40 or 50 people who I haven't named. Go to the site, presscoverage.us. It's going to be the top post on there, as well as this show will be right underneath that. So go through. Please, please, please leave what I got right and what I got wrong and who I forgot and who should have been who in the comments, because I'm going to look at this for the rest of my life. This is one of the greatest things that I will ever do. On the blog, like in writing. I mean, it's just, I'm having so much fun. I never want this episode to end, and I never want this post that I'm writing to end. It's just been too much fun to go through.
Now, little do you know, I have been working on for the last 4 years. It's a book called The Definitive History of Sports Blogs. So I was going to publish that on Monday. I hope it doesn't throw any cold water on your Muppet post. But no, that's, somebody really ought to do that.
It's an ever-changing world, Nick. By the way, I think this show sort of has the. Can somebody transcribe every episode of this? That would be awesome. I will pay you $15,000 if you do it.
We'll find a good stenographer.
You can't hold me to that, by the way. So somebody in like eight.
You can't pay them that.
Somebody in 8 months. I could. Come on, I'm rolling in it now.
Yeah,
I got podcast money coming out of everywhere. All right. Let's get to some voicemails. We're gonna play them. I know the show is long, but come on, listen to it in parts. I mean, we got nothing after this.
Indulge us. Yeah, that's it.
It's like a 2-hour show. We're gonna do some voicemails, but before we get to the voicemails, as I said at the beginning, here are the parameters of what we are doing. It's a time capsule, and the first part of the show is gonna be even funny, especially the Muppet thing. In a couple of years, people are gonna be like, "Who the hell is I'm just thinking of a blogger. Like, who the hell is this person? Take this show and listen to it in 2 years. Save it on some disk or MP3 or computer and open it up in 2 years. And we have a host of friends, and we're going to do it right now. Prognostications of things that are going to happen in sports in the next 2 years. Let's see if they all came true. It'll be fun. And I'll try and keep the same email address, either dl@onthedlpodcast.com, or for people who have been listening forever, it's danlevy@609design.com. One of those will hopefully still exist, if not both, in 2 years. And tell me what we got right and wrong. It'll be fun. So, do you have something? Because I really don't have anything. I'm going to just vamp. All
right. I think an NFL team will win a division with a sub-500. No, wait, that happened. I thought of a couple of big picture ones and I'm going to throw it out there. And if it comes true, it comes true. But I think that in the next 2 years, we could legitimately see someone, die in the field of play. I think that could happen. I think it's, especially in the game of football right now, as dangerous as it sort of is and the way we've seen these guys get knocked out, it would not shock me to see that happen. I guess it's just what I'll say in the game of football. And I also think in the next 2 years, I think we're ripe for an athlete to come out of the closet. I think that could happen in the next 2 years. I mean, I think if you and it's all about perspective. If you went back to – if I went 2 years ago and said Tiger Woods is going to get crushed by the fact that he beds every woman in sight and it's going to completely destroy his career, you'd say you're nuts. So that's the whole point of prediction. You can predict something that it could happen, but you don't know if it will. So I think we can see an athlete come out. Finally. And so those are my two things I'll throw out there.
You stole the thunder of one of our very famous callers.
It happens.
I don't want to further steal his thunder by saying who it is, but it's coming up in a couple seconds. I don't know. I was going to make a joke that I thought in 2 years, because I said this about 6 months ago, sporting news won't exist. and I was right, basically, because AOL ate them up. I mean, the name's still there. So I guess that can I not prognosticate what actually already almost happened?
Yeah, that probably is not the best.
I mean, the people are still there.
I think man will walk on the moon.
Man will walk on Mars.
Yay. An athlete will walk on Mars. We'll play a basketball game on the moon.
I like you're an athlete will die. I mean, I don't. Nick, I like the fact that you think an athlete will die. I think that's good insight. You should have your own show.
You know what? I was offered one today by a major AM station in Philadelphia, but no, I'm kidding.
You should do like Joni Loves Chachi, like your own spinoff, and then get somebody else to host it.
That would be interesting to see. I don't have the work ethic to get that done, but you know, it was worth a shot.
I think that from a blog standpoint, if I can keep it to sports media for a second, as I said, I think 2007 or 2011 is the year of the podcast. So I will continue that. At first I said 2010 and I was wrong. I think by 2 years from today, the automotive industry will suck it up and put Wi-Fi through your provider, just like XM or Sirius, whatever, in cars. And I think we will all have the ability built into the car to have internet all the time for GPS purposes, for everything. And I think at that point, more people will have podcasts than terrestrial radio. I'm not saying terrestrial radio is going to die because news is what it is. But I think there will be more money, and within 2 years from now, more money into the concept of a podcast. And I mean that with television as well, like Hulu and things like that, than in terrestrial radio, so there will be more like video chat sports shows and things like that, than terrestrial radio. I'm not saying sports talk radio will ever die because people like to call in and hear themselves talk. But I think that in the next 3 years, we're getting out right at the right time, Nick, because in the next 3 years,
I was just going to say, and therefore we're going to run away from this potential windfall.
I don't know if anybody's going to make any money off of it. But I just think it's going to become so much easier for people to consume what we're doing right now. It's like, people think it's easy now. You take your iPod, you take your mobile device, and you plug it into your car in a dock, and then you can hear us through your speakers. I think we're even going to be able to skip that step. You're going to be able to press a button. Right now, in my car, I can press one button for AM radio, one button for FM, and one button for XM, all on the same console. Like, my favorites can be like an AM radio, and I don't even have to press more than one button. I think that fourth button within the next couple of years is going to be the internet, and you'll be able to download your iTunes or have everything in cloud computers and just have access to it through your cars. So from a sports media standpoint, I think that's going to be sort of in a way the future, that everything we might not even see radio towers anymore, because radio stations might find it cheaper to just stream things online and allow people to get it through Wi-Fi than through the regular. It's sort of like the digital cable thing. I think that's going to happen with radio.
Oh, that would be, I mean, that would be amazing. I'm all for it. And I think it would, it makes a lot of sense, especially with the going to the HD radio now with a lot of stations and supporting that. If they can, you know, go one step further, like I said, just stream it straight onto there. I would love to get rid of radio towers. They are eyesores and they don't work that well.
And I'll take your one step further. And what you said before, I think a 500 team or a team under 500 will win a major championship. But I guess it already happened in MLS. I think they might. I don't know. Were they under 500 last year? The team escapes me. It wasn't Seattle. But one of the teams out there, I think they got to the finals. They may have even won, and they were close to 500. But it happened in football that an under 500 team won a playoff game. The NBA, under 500 teams get in the playoffs all the time. The only sport that it really can't happen is baseball, because it can happen in hockey too. So I'll say in the next 3 or 4 years, a team that's under 500 in one of the major sports in America does some damage and either gets to a championship game or even wins it. And it could be like it could be like a VCU situation too. A team that you know, there have been under 500 teams that win their conference championship in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that'll happen, but in that sport, but I think it'll happen in some sport. So that's mine. And with that,
there you go.
Do you have anything else? I mean, before you and I will be back on the other end of this, but we're going to drop in a long series of voices here.
I mean, you know, aside from the basketball game with the moon, I think I'm good.
Aside from everyone dying. All right, we'll be back in a little bit. Enjoy these.
Hi, this is Michael Tunison of Kissing Susie Colbert and claimant in a class action lawsuit against Deadspin for not paying me enough for my comments. My prediction for 2 years hence is that SB Nation's Jim Bankoff is going to buy the New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, the Los Angeles Lakers, the Detroit Red Wings, and Manchester United. He will then sign the Mark Cuban at Ted Leonsis, along with Jim Irsay's Twitter account to join his ownership blogging network. This will all be covered in a story stream on SB Nation's main page under the title Jim Bankoff Buys the World. The SEO for this stream will be Jim-Bankoff-Buys-World-Boobs-Video. Thank you.
Hey, this is Andy Hutchins from SBNation.com and now of AlligatorArmy.com from SB Nation. Just wanted to say thanks for the occasional voice of reason and often voice of crankiness on the DL from you and Nick for all these years. I wanted to predict one thing for the future. I think going into those 2012 Olympics, I think we're going to see Usain Bolt run that 100-meter dash in 9.5 or below. And then I also think we're going to hear all those steroid HGH rumors flare up again right after it. So, again, thanks for being great for all these years. Had a lot of fun with Zoe and Max, and thanks for everything.
Hey, guys. Jack Kogatz and Kissing Susie Colbert. It's called The Wish You a Fond Farewell. I'm also getting it down on the record that Floyd Mayweather will go broke betting on the NBA playoffs. He'll then be forced into a fight with Manny Pacquiao that he'll lose by disqualification when Floyd Sr. tackles Freddie Roach between rounds. Goodbye.
Hey, Dan, it's Jonathan Tannenwald from Philly.com. My prediction for 2 years from now is that we're going to be watching a lot more sports online compared to television than we ever have. I think the balance of how things go between online and TV is going to change dramatically, especially as fewer and fewer people subscribe to cable in the coming years and more start to do everything on the Internet. We've already seen it some with Comcast and NBC and ESPN and stuff like March Madness On Demand, but I think that that balance is going to become even more pronounced in the coming years. Thanks again so much for everything you've done for me, helping me get my name out there, my blogs out there, and our site, of course, on your show. Best wishes to you and your family and to Nick and everybody who's been associated with the show. It's been a fantastic run, and I wish you guys all the best.
Hey, this is Greg Wyszynski from the Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy blog. Looking for a prediction in the next 2 years. My prediction is this. You know, hockey players in the National Hockey League have tried mightily to find a way to crack the pop culture conundrum here in the U.S. They've tried to sleep with models like, you know, Carol Alt with Alexa Yash, and they've moved on to pop starlets, you know, like Hillary Duff and Carrie Underwood. So barring all of this, I mean, all these things have not really cracked the ceiling, as it were, for the NHL in the U.S. I think the next thing that will have to happen, and I predict this will happen within the next 2 years, a National Hockey League player will sleep with the wife of a United States senator. I think it's the only way we can really raise the bar, up the ante, really kind of get into the TMZ bloodstream of the U.S., is to have a National Hockey League player banging a U.S. senator's wife. And I don't know which senator, I don't know which party affiliation, I just know someone's wife is getting banged by a hockey player. So that's my prediction within the next 2 years. Boys, love the show. Hope you come back in some way, shape, or form. And see ya.
Hey, this is Jamie Mostrom from Yahoo and Mr. Irrelevant. My one sports prognostication that will happen within the next 2 years is that Dan Levy will be doing something new in digital media and giving it everything he's got. Until then, thanks, Dan, for giving what you've given to date. You're good.
This is Grant Wall, the soccer writer at Sports Illustrated, and my prediction for the next 2 years is that Clint Dempsey, the U.S. midfielder currently at Fulham, will join one of the top four clubs in England in the Premier League and do good things for them, establishing himself as the top American soccer player. Other than that, thanks for doing a great show, and congratulations, Dan, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next. Take care.
Yo, what's up, Dan? Kevin Kadok here, Big League Stu. I guess you want a prediction. I'm a little bit of a bad mood now because the Hawks are heading into third period down 2-0, so can't come up with anything, but I do know this. My workouts will not go or pass as quickly without listening to you and Nick in my ear. You guys did a great show, and we're going to miss you in the future. And hopefully we'll be able to wrangle you for a few episodes of Busby and I's podcast, Why Is This News, over on Yahoo, which can't hold a candle to what you guys did over 555 episodes. So congratulations, Godspeed, and we'll miss the hell out of you.
Hey, Dan, it's Will Brinson with CBSSports.com, and I have a slew of predictions for you over the next 2 years. I think that Buster Posey will win the NL MVP. I think Tiger Woods will win two or more majors, and I think that the Carolina Panthers will draft Cam Newton. That one's not so far out, but I like it anyway. So good luck with the show, man. We'll miss hearing you, and take care.
Hi, this is Stephanie Stradley. I write a Texans blog for the Houston Chronicle, and my sports predictions are these. The Texans make a playoffs next year with an improved defense, and they go to the Super Bowl the following year. I couldn't get through that without laughing. No, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
This is Bill Leach. My prediction is that the next 2 years will bring us our first openly gay athlete, and they'll probably be Derek Jeter. Congratulations, guys.
Hey, this is Phil Van der Vossen with Canoxon Sports. I'm definitely going to miss your show, but I'd like to wish you guys luck in whatever your future endeavors will be. As for my sports picks, I'm actually on the way down to the Capitals playoff game right now, so I'm going to have to say the Capitals are going to win the Stanley Cup. And as a bonus pick, I was consulting with Gray's Sports Almanac, and I feel fairly confident in saying that the Chicago Cubs are going to defeat the Miami Gators in the 2015 World Series. So take that to the bank. Thanks.
Dan, all the best in the future, and I'll be sad to not be listening to On the DL each and every day in the mornings. My prognostication for 2 years from now will be that there will be no American in the top 10 in the world rankings in golf. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but we're coming close to it anyway. So it probably will come true at some point. This is Ryan Ballinger from NBCSports.com, and like I said, all the best going forward.
This is Tim DeLicio from FirebrandAL.com, a Red Sox blog, but I just got back from a weekend in Augusta, and my sports prediction is that Tiger Woods will win next year's Masters. He will win more than that in the next 2 years, more majors. He was this close to having everything together, and having watched the front nine he put on, I fully expect a Tiger Woods rebound over the next 2 years.
Hey, this is Ty Schalter with the Lions in winter, and I'm just calling with my predictions here. I have two predictions for 2 years. Number one, that we'll all be watching more ESPN3.com than ESPN 1 or 2, and we'll be getting our content online, on our TV, and on our phones, as opposed to through the providers. So that's going to be interesting. And number two, I predict that Dan Levy will be doing something awesome for somebody cool, having a great gig and enjoying it. So,
Dan, it's Jack Pierce from avoidingthedrop.com and two yellows all over the place, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever else. So you asked for a prediction of something that will happen in sports over the next 2 years. I'm going to tell you that I think one thing that's definitely going to happen over the next 2 years is you're going to see a major club somewhere in the world, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, England, the Netherlands, is going to completely fail. And when I talk about club, of course, I'm talking about soccer club, football club, completely fail financially. There's a tough economic situation brewing all over the world. UEFA is trying to get a handle on it. And so I would say that you might see a massive club fail. Real Madrid, Barcelona, Chelsea, Manchester United. They're piling up too much debt. They're not taking enough money in, and eventually the bubble will burst. So that's my prediction. One other thing, I hope that by ending the show, things work out for you. I really enjoy this podcast, and so I hope that by ending it, things, I don't want to say necessarily get better, but that you gain a bit of happiness and joy, and that everything goes well. Good luck, mate, and I'm sure we'll talk at some point, probably holler at each other over Twitter or some nonsense like that. But anyway, best of luck, and thank you for all that you've given me in terms of entertainment over the last few years. I appreciate it. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Dan and Nick, this is former guest and Republican strategist Philip Stutz. I'm a proud, longtime listener of the podcast. In fact, you were the second podcast I ever subscribed to, the first being Tony Kornheiser. Here are my predictions. I am predicting that an unknown will win the 2011 Masters. I don't know. Let's go with this guy named Charles Schwartzel. Nick Saban will win another national championship for my alma mater, Alabama, and he'll run for president in 2012 and win as a Republican, of course. My good friend and former commander of the USS Cole, Kirk Lippold, will be in Congress. Finally, I predict we'll get less tweets from Dan about Zoe's NFL picks and from Nick's eating habits. Thanks for all the great work, guys. I always was entertained, even when you were acting like irrational lefty communists. All the best with your future. Talk to you soon.
Ken Fang, Fang's Bites, covering sports media from fangsbites.com. My prediction for you, Dan, in a couple of years, since I cover sports media, I might as well give you a prediction on sports media and what's going to be happening in a couple of years. My prediction is going to be that NBC and Versus and the NBC Sports Group is going to become not quite as big as behemoth as ESPN, but one to give them a pretty good battle. I'll say in 2 years, they'll take one of their bigger contracts away from them. I'll say they'll take away the NBA or the Major League Baseball. They'll take one of those two and leave ESPN really a little bit, so that leaves them a little bit vulnerable. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of NBC Sports Group coming up in the next couple of years, and they're going to give ESPN a good run for their money. Best of luck, Dan. Thanks for letting me leave a message, and I hope to be talking to you soon and hope to be hearing you soon somewhere down the line. Thank you.
Hey, Dan, this is Brian Bassett from the Jets blog. You've asked for some predictions, so here's my kooky prediction for 2 years from now. You ready? The Phoenix will rise from its ashes. So what do I mean by that? Well, I guess two things. First, that discussion by sports fans will always find a new, more compelling or whatever form of dialogue. And, you know, what we've talked about as sports blogging for the past couple of years will take on some new shape and some newer media, and some intrepid young Turks will dive headlong into it and create a new space unfettered by the conventions of what's come before, what's, you know, currently conventional. And the established folks will sniff at the newcomers and say, you know, that's not right what they're doing. But eventually corporations will realize that, this has to be leveraged, and this new medium is a great way for them to get their brand out there or whatever they're trying to do or sell in any given day. And so money will flow into the space, and then eventually, the same thing will happen. It'll burn out. There'll be a diaspora of those folks. Some will get pulled in, some will get pulled out, but it'll start all over again and again and again and again. Secondly and more importantly, I have full confidence that you're going to rise from the ashes too. And I understand, you might feel burnt out right now, and it's completely understandable, given everything that's going on. But, the truth is that you're just too talented and too insightful to not come back, stronger and more rejuvenated from your time away. So honestly, thank you so much for the great show, for the past few years. I'm going to miss it. And I look forward to, the next incarnation of whatever you do. So thanks so much.
Hey, this is Don from Hugging Harold Reynolds and Blogs of Balls. And first, just want to wish Dan and Nick, my sincerest congratulations, let you guys know that you're going to be missed and you've done some wonderful work, and can't wait to see what's next in store for you guys. In terms of my predictions, I am going to go the lockout route, since every major league in existence has this pending. And what I predict is that it's really not going to make much of a difference in terms of fans' reaction. You hear people talking about 1994 and MLB and how are the fans going to take to this and react to it. I think fans are fans and have accepted it at this point, and they're going to come back just as strong once they get games and going to really appreciate it. The second thing I have is I think LeBron James is going to retire from basketball to play with the Birmingham Barons, although he's going to do so with far fewer rings, as in zero, and make his way on the minor league baseball scene for a while. Really, I don't even know what to say and even think much about it, because I'm not much of a prognosticator. But as I said, I just want to wish Dan and Nick all the best. And like I said, I can't wait to see what happens next. See you guys.
This is Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated. I'm going to miss my jousting with Dan Levy on the DL. I believe I appeared twice on the show. And there was some epic 15-round kind of conversation battles. And I always liked the fact that Dan, unlike, say, Trey Wingo, Tony Kornheiser, you know, he did not give me the kid glove treatment that he gave some of his longtime favorites. You know, there was no sucking up to me as I think he did to some other guests. There was just sort of a straight back and forth, which I always appreciated. So I wish on the DL and its participants the best of luck. If they ever come back, they will come back as something else, and I have no doubt that they will produce an interesting product. And in a serious note, there's very few places, at least in sports, the sports podcast landscape, where you can have long, in-depth conversations, and that's why I always liked this program. It always provided me with an interesting change-up, and I always respected that of Dan and his staff. In terms of prediction, I don't really have any great sports predictions. I guess the one thing I will predict is that in the next 2 years, there will be a number of networks that kiss the butt of Tiger Woods and proclaim his courage and something to that effect on the golf course in the final round. So I guess that would be my prediction. I'm going to predict that Tiger Woods will receive love from announcers. I know that's an incredible prediction, and I have a real good feeling it's going to come true. So, to Dan Levy, to Dan Levy's audience, I wish you all the best of luck, and I'll see you in the future.
Matt Seebeck, Joe Sports Fan. Guys, it definitely pains me to participate in this digital swan song, especially since everyone knows damn well Dan Levy will be announcing his third return from retirement this time next year. And I also will predict that 10 years from now, Albert Pujols of the beloved St. Louis Cardinals will be the Mo Vaughn of his generation, DHing for either the Yankees or occupying a spot on the DL for the Mets. And I just said on the DL. That was pretty cute and unplanned. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for your consistent laughs, entertainment, and authenticity over the past few years. In 10 years, I'm hoping you guys can pick this sucker up and then, you know, leverage telepathy or something. And, well, actually, it should probably be pretty easy since, you know, Nick Tarnowski will probably be living in or above Dan Levy's garage like Mike Seaver or Joey Gladstone. And take care, fellas.
Dan Levy, Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. Listen, I know I'm supposed to give you predictions on what the sporting world is going to be like a couple of years from now. We know what it's going to be like. The Braves are going to have the Phillies back in their rightful submissive position in the National League East. Tiger is still going to be a topic of everybody's conversation. The BCS will still be as alive and evil as ever, etc., etc., etc. What I want to do, my friend, is take a moment to thank you for your 555 shows. You were inspirational. You were insightful. Thought-provoking. You had great guests. You sparked debate. You, sir, were an integral part of the Sports Blog world. Now, I know you want to remain a part of that, so here's the deal. I'm going to let you and your listeners in on a little secret. This is the secret to getting a job in the mainstream sports world. It's not about paying your dues. It's not about having a work ethic that gets you up at 4 in the morning every day when you've got kids at home. It's not about making contacts across the industry. You're going about it all wrong. There is one trick, man, one thing that's so easy to do that most people miss it, but this will get you the job that you want. So take notes. In order to become a major player in sports media, you have to.
My thanks to everybody for doing that. And I know, look, I mean, it's 30 seconds or... Richard Deitch. How did Richard Deitch manage to hijack a show he wasn't even on? It was like three... It was like, time that. I think it's... My clock said like a minute and 58. It felt like 7 minutes.
You know, I might actually listen to this show today. I think I want to hear this stuff.
My wife asked me the other day, does Nick even listen to the show? I said, no. I've been on 555... episodes. And by the way, keep in mind that number is totally fudged because we did like our 100th episode was like 7 episodes long. I mean, it's been more than 555 actual downloads if you think about it like that. But and you've probably been on, God, I would say probably over 300, right? I mean, close to it.
I'd have to say. I mean, it certainly feels like it.
I think you've probably been. I don't think it's 400 because I've done a lot of interviews, but maybe pretty close. Maybe close to 400. If somebody knows that.
Somebody's keeping stats, keeping our stats, let us know.
What's your X fit?
It's my war.
Well, we both went Saber on that one. Anyway, the point is, I don't think you've listened to more than 15 of the ones you weren't on.
No, probably not. I don't think I've ever listened to. I've never listened to one I was on. I know that.
Oh, you know what they say.
Well, I know. I've already heard it, so.
Yeah. So anyway, people kept asking, like I said, at the beginning of this Love Fest, how are we going to end the show? What song are we going to pick? And I was going to sing Boys to Men, It's So Hard. No, I did End of the Road, and somebody else said we should do It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. Or maybe the other way around. I said that, and somebody else said The End of the Road should have been the one that we picked. And then Kevin Kaduk wins the one where he was it Whitney Houston? Didn't we almost have it all?
That would be
This is so great. So on that note, I sincerely thank everyone for indulging us for the last hour and a half. And I hope you got through this. And I'm glad that you helped me get through this. Because this has been hard to get through. And I say a personal note to you, Nick. No one in their right mind would have ever said yes to waking up at 6:30 in the morning every day, and in some days 5:30 in the morning, taping a show for a half an hour with me, yelling about sports, and then getting in the shower and going about your day and having a real job. This became my job. This became my life. But for you, you had so much else you had to worry about every day. It is amazing that you took the time to indulge me.
Well, listen, I say it was my pleasure. I mean that it was. You know, there, like I said, there were times that I'd look at that clock and I, for some reason, always before Monday shows, I could never sleep Sunday night. And I don't know what it was. And it wasn't just work. It was sort of like, I got to get up and do the show and I got to work. But the second, and I don't think we will, you might not even realize, for 6:30 show, I go 6:25.
Wow, I realize it.
6:25. Because I said it to somebody like, really, you said awfully wake. I'm like, I snapped to it pretty quickly. But it, as soon as those headphones went on, which I'm looking at now, I'm like, oh, I guess I got to put these away. It just became, it's the thing I did. It's the thing we did. It was our thing. And we went through it every day. And honestly, over the course of the show, I was just thinking back today. I bought a house. I met the love of my life. I lost love of my life. You had a son. The Phillies won a World Series. As we record this show today, I will never forget one of the most emotional shows that we did. Was
when Harry got
2 years ago tomorrow when Harry, and it might have been that night. We might have done it that night, actually, I think about it, because we were still doing night shows, but when Harry Callis passed. So we've been through a lot of milestones of this thing, and throughout it all, we were just talking about sports.
We
did not quite get it all. We almost had it all, but no, it has been my sincere pleasure. And to those listening,
I don't know the other words.
No, not really at all. The last thing I'll say is you just throw me off. But we really, I will say it again, we appreciate you, trust me, more than you'll ever know, because it was that feedback and it was knowing that we weren't just yelling into the Grand Canyon that kept us going each day, and I thank you for that.
Misty watercolor memories.
I wanted to do Last Goodbye by Jeff Buckley, because that's a very
love
emotional
the way
song.
We were.
But I won't sing it. Bar Babs,
you got to end with Streisand, don't you? Isn't that the way everyone ends the show? By the way, for people who listened from the beginning, we are ending the show the way we started the show. And my thanks to the Balkan Beatbox for allowing me to steal unknowingly to them to steal their song to use as an intro and outro and transition for all these years. I love that song, but we actually started with another song before that. So with that, DL it on the DL podcast. You have anything else today?
Bye.
Talk to everybody on Monday. Do, 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 do. We had to end with a cliffhanger. We hate cliffhangers when shows get canceled. We had to do it.
Stay tuned.
Talk to everybody when we talk to you. Never shut up.
that you talk. Homeboy, you never shut up. You talk about people you don't even know. Then you talk about places you never go. You talk about your girl from head to toe. I said your mouth's moving fast and your brain's moving fast.